It would help. Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. And we welcome any visitors in Jesus' precious name as well. There's a couple of things I just want to point out for this morning. That we have the session meeting on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Next Sunday, we're doing something slightly different. I spoke about it on Wednesday night at the annual general meeting, but Messy comes to Sunday. And basically that's about Messy Church. If anyone's heard of Messy Church, it's basically just a way of doing church using craft and stories and song and food together. So it's a way of church for families, to encourage families who come and work together. But to enable everyone to know and feel what Messy Church is like, what we're going to do next week is a service based on Messy Church. So there will be some crafts, there'll be something in the small hall, there'll be things to be done in the church here. We will start with the welcome and the call to worship, as we do now, and then there'll be a couple of songs, and I'll say something about the story. And we'll be looking at the fruits of the Spirit. So we then, having done that, we share some crafts. There's some that you can sit in the pew and do, and there's some that you need to get out of the pew and have a look at. And then we come back together and tell the story again and sing the songs, that's us. And then, of course, there's the lunch for Marie Curie. Am I right? Yeah, Marie Curie. So we can eat together afterwards. The service won't be... the service won't be any longer. I would not expect the service to be any longer than the, around the hour that it is now. And in fact, because there's food being prepared, then you want to try and keep that as tight as possible. So that'll be next Sunday. And again, I know that for many people, they're not going to like people. Some people will not like Messy Church. But I'm asking you to sit through it, to know what it is, so that you can share that with other people and tell them it's for families, tell them what it's about, tell them what you did. Some people won't like it, some people will love it, and some people will be okay with it. But that's the way it is. So, share that with you, that'll be next week. And I think that's all. Any additional intimations? Other than, I don't really want to put my photograph back up. Could you put that Facebook page thing back up? Can you manage that? No. We spoke about Facebook on Wednesday night, and there's now somewhere in the region of 50 likes. So, and a post I put up yesterday on Facebook has already reached about 30 people. You'll have to excuse that photograph. I was on a conference. That's my only excuse. But that was a bit about Messy Church, and it was about making a simple hat. Or was it a hat for someone simple? I was certainly the victim. But please, if you've got access to Facebook, have a search for Livingston Parish Church. And like it. It's another way of us being able to share information about services and about generally what's on. Thanks, Ross. And do join us for a cup of tea and coffee after the service this morning. Psalmist writes, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Praise the Lord. And let's worship him now by singing together, O happy day that fixed my choice. The Spirit of God affirms to our spirit that we are God's children. He comes to the aid of our weakness. Let's pray. Almighty God, without you we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. So today we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last week we spoke about the promise of the Holy Spirit, and it was Pentecost is that time when God fulfills his promise. I'm just wondering if I can get a wee helper, but you can stay there, I'll come to you. Oh no, sink slowly into the pew. All you need to do is shuffle these cards about, move them about, and then give me one. We're going to go through the gifts of the Spirit. This is quite nice being here, actually. Excuse me while I sit here for a wee while. So one of the gifts is discernment. Do you know what that means? No. No. Discernment. It's about that thing about knowing what's good and right, knowing against evil, good and evil, right and wrong, and true and false. And so we're given a spirit by God to be able to discern other spirits, what's right and wrong. Okay? Yes, Dave. Let's have another one then. Don't have to just take the top one, you could take one in the middle. You could confuse me completely. There we go. Words of wisdom. One of the gifts is words of wisdom, and it's about receiving something from God, a word from God, in a situation or with a person, and how God wants things to be, or something that's going to help someone. It's a wee word of wisdom. Next one. There we go, words of knowledge. So that's sometimes we're praying with someone or we're with someone and God gives us a word of knowledge. How and why God will tell us things that we wouldn't know otherwise. Okay? Another one? I have to tell you there's nine of them. At least I hope there's nine, otherwise I've missed a card out. And faith, we get a gift of faith. And that gift of faith is about just knowing that God is God and that we can rest in him all the time. Okay, next one. Actually, we'll leave that one. Can you give me that one as well? I'll need to show them from the front maybe. Right, so give me another one. There's prophecy. So a prophet is a messenger of God and speaks God's word into a situation. It means that where God wants us to be drawn up as a people, and he did that in the Old Testament particularly when he sent prophets, and he sent Jonah to go to Nineveh to tell them they were doing the wrong thing and they must change. So he can be, he sent a prophet as a trumpet of God. Okay, next one. Miracles. God does miracles. And he enables us, he gives us, through God can work through us and do miracles. A gift of miracles. Another one? Last one? Gifts of healing. You know, we can pray with people, we can be anointed to have gifts of healing, that God will use us to heal people of all sorts of things. I'm going to keep these two out the front, is that okay? Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. That was nice. I like sitting there. Maybe do it more often. The two that I wanted to keep back, difficult to see, but one is tongues. And I've put on there, I should have asked you if you could read the word, but it's Hebrew. And it's the word for Lord. Because if we have tongues, so Adonai, Lord, if we have the gift of tongues, Paul tells us we have to have the gift of interpretation of tongues. So if somebody can speak in a different language, the gift of tongues, saying something, it's not about learning French or Spanish, it's about a communication with God. And if that's to be in church, there has to be someone who can interpret what's been said. But tongues is used to edify, to build up. These are the gifts of the Spirit. And later on, I want to share with you a bit more about how God uses his Spirit for his church. But let's just take a moment just now and pray. Father, we just thank you for your word to us, your time. And Lord, as we pray that we would do all things to your glory. We praise you for your Spirit who grants us gifts just as he decides. And so as we praise you and glorify your name, hear us as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not, but deliver us from evil. Power and the glory forever. Amen. We sing together again. Words from Joshua, but be bold and be strong, not to be discouraged. And, you know, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we need to be bold and need to be strong to use them. So let's sing together. Be bold, be strong. Loving God, we thank you for this new day that you've given us, for all the opportunities that it brings, for the things that we'll enjoy in the day, the times we will share with family and with friends and with you, for the beauty that we will see in the world around us, the people that we meet and the life that we will live. Loving God, receive our thanks. Father, we praise you that we have so much to be thankful for and to thank you for. So much that is good, that brings us pleasure, that causes us to rejoice. We praise you that you're always looking to bless us, to help us celebrate life in all its fullness. And so, loving God, to receive our praise. Forgive us that we sometimes fail to count our blessings, that we let familiarity blind us to how fortunate we are, and we fail to thank you for your many gifts. Forgive us too that we fail to make the most of all that we have received, constantly seeking more and more, instead of appreciating what we have, squandering our inheritance, rather using it wisely. Loving God, receive our confession. Lord of all, assure us once more of your loving mercy, your constant forgiveness, your continuing love, and teach us to accept everything you have given us with heartfelt gratitude, showing our thanks not just in these words but in our daily living, in celebrating and sharing the wonder of life. Loving God, as we pray this morning, receive our worship in the name of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, his first letter from chapter 12. Earlier in the letter, Paul noted that the Christians at Corinth are not lacking in any spiritual gifts. Even so, they appear to have written to him on the subject. And so here in this chapter, he's teaching them more about the gifts provided through the Holy Spirit. So that's 1 Corinthians 12 and the first 11 verses. Listen, each one, to the word of God. Now about the gifts of the spirits, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word. To him be all glory, honour and praise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's worship together. we turn to our prayers for others, and a few things of joy and things of concern as we come together in prayer. As always, we share in God's faithfulness and his everlasting love. And that is a thing for us to rejoice in all the time. And in presbytery, they pray for Adrossan Park Church and the Reverend Tanya Webster, just another church within the presbytery, just to pray for, to remember, and to give thanks for. And also within presbytery, the work of the nomination committee and Ian Curry, the minister, who's the convener. From the Crossreach Prayer Diary, this week it's prayers for Morlach House in Edinburgh. It's a residential care home for older people. A few things just to share and give thanks for. Things of concern we've seen all week. All that about Grenfell Tower and the fire there, and the death toll now up to 58, but not expected to remain there. And as we pray for those who are bereaved, we also need to remember those who are really quite angry as well. For whatever reason, there seems to be, again, a lack of information points, a source at one place. And just in something I read this morning, the government have put in something to help the council. But there is a lot of anger and a lot going on there, and there's already been demonstrations in the council offices and other places. So we remember that, and we give thanks for those who responded and who are responding, as we remember those who have lost everything, and including for many family members. As we look around the world then, tensions around Jerusalem again, with on Friday a policewoman being attacked and stabbed to death, and ISIS taking the claim for it. But just indicative of the tensions around the world. And so as we pray for God's peace to be in the world. Let's pray. Almighty and loving God, we gather together today as those joined by your Holy Spirit. We come remembering your ancient promise to send your Spirit upon all people, young and old, male and female, Jew and Gentile. Move within us, we pray. We come remembering the first Pentecost, when your Spirit was given to the apostles, renewing their faith and transforming their lives. Move within us, we pray. And we come today reminded of the constant work of your Spirit, inspiring, guiding, challenging, refining. And we pray, Lord, that you would move within us. Almighty God, Spirit of truth, come as you promised and reveal to us more of the way of Christ. Come and fill us with deeper faith and greater love. Give us the gifts we need to pray for your kingdom. Inspire us with new vision and purpose, and breathe your power into our lives. Almighty God, we pray that you would move within us. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds and souls to your Spirit, whoever we may be, and so equip us to live as your people, not just this, but every day, our lives reflecting your glory and proclaiming your love. Pray that you'd move within us to the glory of your name. And Father, as we pray the prayers of our hearts and minds inspired by your Holy Spirit. And we pray for each one here, those on our left, those on our right, those in front of us and those behind us, those seated above us and seated below us, and those in a different part of the building. We pray for those who can't be here, for whatever reason. I ask, Lord, that you'd bless each one at the point of their need. Loving God, remember all whom we remember and forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus, put this song into our hearts. Let's worship together. Maybe sometimes we'll be just dancing right round, doing a congo out that door and back in this one. Let's take a moment to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you, your Son, your Spirit, just fill our hearts with your joy and your song. And Lord, as we worship you, we praise you. May your Spirit, present with us now, lead us in all that we hear and all that we think. And that you would bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the questions for me, where we look at the gifts of the Spirit and this passage from 1 Corinthians, I go back to that time of, well, a couple of weeks ago we looked at Pentecost. And this is where the church started to build. But how did it build? How did the church grow? How did the people know what to do? And that, whatever happened there and how church developed then, surely has to have something for us now. That we can cut away an awful lot of stuff and come back to what was it that the church did. How did the church grow? How did the people know what to do? One of the first things that Paul says in this reading is that no one can say, no one with the Spirit can say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can confess that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's easy to be able to turn around and just say something. But that's not what Paul is meaning. His meaning of confession here is more about a lifetime's commitment. We're told that as we come to God, we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, that we are filled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, that He's there in our lives. So in that commitment that we make, we cannot say, when the Holy Spirit is within us, Jesus be cursed. And unless the Holy Spirit is in us, we cannot say Jesus is Lord. Not and mean it. But that commitment that we make, that confession that we make, the one that Paul's speaking about, is one about our confession by word, by deed, by thought, by our lives, by our spirit, our own spirit. So there's something deep right away about the Spirit being within us, connecting with us, enabling us to confess, not just in words, but many other ways in our lives, that Jesus is Lord. Paul also writes about there's a variety of services. He says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but not all of them. And in everyone, it is the same God at work. So there's different ways of working, there's different service, but it's all from God. So for the church then, what Paul is saying to that church in Corinth is there's different things that are going on here. People serve in different ways. People work together in different ways. So it's not just by looking at minister or deacon or reader or elder or board member or whatever. That's not the service that's meant. The service is meant is that service which shows people that you love God, that we love God. A service which is about loving God and loving one another, which also includes loving our enemies. And how we connect with our neighbours, how we connect with each other. So there's a variety of services and a variety of ways of working. And Paul also says there are different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit that distributes them. So that same Spirit comes with the gifts and He gives them to people. We've heard earlier about the nine that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. But here's some more from Romans 12 at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So different gifts. Some of those gifts overlapping what Paul writes in Corinthians, the first letter to the church at Corinth, and some are different. But what he's saying here, is you're going to do that. If that's your gift, that's what God has graced you with, do it well. Do it diligently. Do it well. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 7, But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So here's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, equipping people for the works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. More expressions of gifting by the Spirit. And 1 Peter 4, again at verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So more ways of service and more ways of the variety of the gifts. We see hospitality as one. You know, just in these four readings, there's over 20 gifts. Gifts which were given to the people of God. Gifts which are given to the people of God. And sometimes we receive these gifts and we struggle in when's the right place to use them. Sometimes, you know, we do need to be that thing about being bold, resting in God because he's given us a gift to do something. And we find it difficult to do. Sometimes we lose sight of why we're doing it. I would often like to think about that story about Martha and Mary when Jesus visited the house. Martha, you remember, was preparing the food in the kitchen. And to her angst, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. But my mind goes to the point of, what if that's the gift of hospitality that Martha has been given? That's the thing she's really good at. And so it's her place. But I understand too how she would be aggrieved, maybe, that Mary, whom could be helping her, is just sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. But we are given a gift. We have a gift. We're given gifts to use. And Scripture also tells us, Paul tells us, he reminds us that it's for the common good. It's not for the individual. It's for the common good of the church. There is a story, it's not a story, it's written in a book of one of these healing pastors in America some 30, 40 years ago. And he attracted great audiences, big congregations who would come to his meetings and he would call people forward and lay hands and pray for them, and people would be healed. People would see the healings. And he always gave God the glory for these healings. Until one night, where he started to speak about these healings were his. He was healing people. Now, if you start to speak of that in a meeting, that means that process had been going on in his head and his heart for a while. But he spoke this out loud. I healed so-and-so. I healed all these people. And he didn't give God all the glory. He didn't give God the credit. And at that point, that gift of healing was removed. And he did not heal anyone again. None of his prayer led to healing. That's a warning for us all. That if we begin to believe that our gifts are so important that we don't need God, then here's a warning. God will just remove the gift. God doesn't need us. God doesn't need me. But he wants to use us. He wants to use me. He doesn't need us. He loves us. He wants us in a relationship with him. He doesn't need us. And so the gifts that he gives us through his Spirit are not about him wanting us or needing us to do something. It's about a relationship. And we have these gifts. These gifts are given to the glory of God and for building up the kingdom in the place. So for me, one of the questions has to be, going back to the start, how does the church grow? How do the people, how do we know what to do? How do we grow? How do we know what to do? And for me, there's only one way of this. And it begins in prayer. It begins in that relationship with God and following him and sitting and discerning what Jesus is doing, being disciples, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having these gifts and using them together. Because each one of us has been gifted by God through his Holy Spirit. Each one of us has a gift. And some of us might say, aye, but I'm too old now. Or aye, but that's not for now, it was for then. But God has given each one of us a gift for now. For the church now. Because he loves us and because he blesses us. So each one of us has something for the church now. And it's all about putting these things together. Not in some scheme that I might think up or the session might think up, but in some way that God has told us to do, something we've discerned through prayer. In all the things that I preach, there's two things that I'll always ever preach. First of all, that Jesus died, lived, died, rose again, and was ascended for each one of us. And the other thing is this, that if we honour the Holy Spirit, if we glorify the Holy Spirit by using his gifts that he's given us in the way that he's given us, he will honour us. We might not see it today or tomorrow, but he will honour us. That song at the start, Be Bold, Be Strong, words from Joshua. Be bold, be encouraged, be courageous, for the Lord our God is with us. everything that we do in worship of him, to honour him, builds the kingdom. And for me, building the church here, it's not about me doing something, it's about us doing something. But we all have the gifts, it's how we bring them together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do give us your gifts for the building up of your kingdom. And so we worship you and praise you. Give you the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And we continue with our offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we make this offering a token of all that you've given us, we give back to you. And as we do that and we present ourselves to you once again, renew us by your Spirit, refresh us by your Spirit, embolden us by your Spirit. Enable us to work together, the building up of your kingdom in this place. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Let's worship him. Go now to love and to serve the Lord your God, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.